Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Business Beyond Borders, where we have made it our mission to talk to global experts and professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders from a variety of industries and fields as we tackle the many aspects of scaling an international business. The goal here is to collect valuable insights and share in-depth knowledge so that you too can apply the winning techniques and strategies to go global and take your business to the world.
Hi there, I'm Cynthia Dearen, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders, where I unlock the secrets of international business success. Today, I'm talking to my colleague, Tatiana Miron, who is a senior advisor to Dearen & Associates and works closely with my team from her base in Marseille, France. Tatiana is also the founder of Prime Target, which is a Dearen & Associates partner firm. And Prime Target provides advisory business intelligence services and solutions for international development. Today, Tatiana and I are talking about how to go about choosing the right market to launch your company in and why data is so important in that process. Tatiana, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi there.
Yeah, nice talking to you from here, from France, from Marseille.
Yeah, and look, you are joining us from Marseille today. I wanted to ask you, what is the vibe on the ground in France at the moment? At the beginning of June, as restrictions in France ease and vaccinations ramp up, and I'm guessing the weather's warming up too.
Yes, the vaccinations are very good news here in France. We are actually starting to re-see and restart our life, our private life and our business life. We can see, for example, more than 45% of people are being vaccinated right now, and we are starting this week the teenagers, which is very good news. So in terms of business, the vibe is starting to feel positive. We talk about going back and more to the office, despite the holidays starting, season starting. And yes, the weather is beautiful. The weather is beautiful here in Marseille.
That is great to know. And I wanted to start off by just giving people some context about your story. You know, you have lived all around the world, and I would love it if you could tell us about how you became interested in international business, because it's not very conventional, you know, it's a little unorthodox. And how did you end up starting your own company in this space?
Yeah, well, I come from Eastern Europe, and I have a finance and banking background. And I have lived, obviously, in Moldova and Eastern Europe, the country I come from. And then I lived in Barcelona in Spain for several years. And afterwards, I moved to South Africa, to Johannesburg, where I enjoyed 10 years of my life. And currently, I am in Marseille, in France. And through my professional and private journey, I had the chance to work in the international trade field. So I have worked, as I said, in finance and banking, but always in international trade. And afterwards, I moved to companies like SGS, which did international trade surveillance. Then I started working in consulting companies to help companies develop internationally. And finally, I have come to the conclusion that I would like to go on my own. And I have decided to open my own consulting companies here in Marseille, in France, since 2018. And it goes very well.
Fantastic. And while we're talking about France and Europe, how do you feel that business is going in Europe in the aftermath of Brexit and sort of towards the tail end of a pandemic?
Well, Brexit and COVID, two words which are quite difficult to hear in Europe. We are learning. We are actually learning how we are going to do business right now without the UK and how we are going to treat this new partner. From the point of view of Brexit, I think we kind of stay positive and we think that Europe still has huge potential despite this unfortunate change. And we still stay very attractive. And here I'm talking about France and not only about Europe. And there were some very positive changes and countries who won from this change, like Netherlands, like and cities like Amsterdam, like Paris, like Frankfurt. So yeah, there, obviously we see Brexit as a negative change from the global and European point of view, but there are some advantages to grasp, and some countries won from this.
When you say the countries won, are you talking about the fact that there's an opportunity for financial activity to shift to capitals like Paris, like Amsterdam? Is that the thing that's been positive for them?
Yes, exactly. It's the thing that many financial companies decided to move closer, actually to be closer to their clients, because from the moment of Brexit, they have understood that UK is going to be a further market. You see what I mean? So they have decided to move in the heart of their clients, so Europe, which is Europe. And we don't talk here only about financial companies. We talk a little bit about manufacturing companies as well, moving of the head offices from London, from UK to other European capitals. And so, yes, different industries, not only financial.
Let's talk about market selection, because that is really the core thing that we wanted to explore together today. Now, like me, from the other side of the world, you work with companies that are going global, and that includes helping them to choose which markets that they're going to go into. Now, when it comes to market selection, I find that companies often gloss over the research piece, or they skip it altogether and make decisions based on gut feel or opportunism. Or they go right to the other end of the spectrum and they get stuck in analysis paralysis and they never actually make a choice. Does that tally with your experience in this space?
I like the way you said analysis paralysis. This is awesome. Actually, what I have found from the companies I work with and what we have seen done by research, that in terms of small and medium enterprises, right, we have more than 75% of companies who act on opportunities, right, as you call it, opportunism. So they either don't do any market selection or they go with a gut feeling. Okay, so this is a classic. And from when I work with clients, we really need to break this habit, okay? And it's not only about the CEO, it's the whole team to understand that when you go international, you have to understand the reasons behind this decision. Why? Why are you doing that? Mm. It's not just the purpose to increase the market coverage. It's why to increase it and where actually to do it and where to focus your resources on.
Now, I know there will be people listening to this podcast episode saying to themselves, yeah, whatever. I feel like I don't really need to do research. I just kind of know where to go. Talk to us a bit about the consequences that you have seen when companies make choices about markets without using data. You know, when they do so, gut feel, what happens?
So first of all, okay, let's talk about the consequences of market selection. So why do we do market selection? Because here we talk about strategy, right? We talk about strategic management. So first of all, when companies, when they use international strategies and when they follow them, they become more profitable between 20 and 30% if we compare them with those who go by opportunism, right? So we have really see the increase in profitability on companies who follow this view. And then we have to compare as well, we must speak about market selection, but as well market segmentation, and then the such words as concentration. So all these three concepts go hand in hand. We select the markets, we segment them, and then we focus on the one which we know hold for us more opportunities. If we don't do that, right? So you're asking me about the consequences. If we don't do that, so what I used to say very often to my clients is the number one mistake when we go international is we select the wrong market. And we know that a small and medium enterprises or a startup, when they go international, it takes about 1 to 2 years to develop one market. So it means that 1 to 2 years of your resources and time are going to be wasted or really badly used. You see what I mean? Because it's all, everything is around resources. What do we have in hand?
I feel like I'm talking to myself at this point. I totally agree with you. Yeah. And look, I have similarly seen people make ill-considered decisions about where they're going to expand to and just have it fall over on them. And the consequence of that, I think, is that they often get so put off by the bad experience that they had that they conclude it's all too hard. They don't try again, and they just miss out on what could have been the best thing that they ever did for their business.
Yes, we don't even speak about that. The bad experience persuades them that international markets are difficult and unattainable. And so it's a lot of loss of opportunities, actually. So it's a very important step, and it's a very difficult step to make a decision, yes.
So, I mean, if we do market selection the right way, ideally we should be using data so that we can make evidence-based decisions about where might be a smart place for us to go. How do you think companies should be using data to make market selection decisions? I mean, is there a right amount of data that you need?
Well, there is a minimum amount of data that we need to use, and it's going to be always related to some internal things to the company and to the industry. It's of the company itself. But it's not always about the quantity of the data, but on what kind of data, the quality of the data we are going to rely our decisions. So if I have to speak about what types of data we should look at, is I would look at, first of all, about demand, okay, the market size, the number of potential clients we might have, the access to the market. How do we measure it? Is it easy? Not easy. And in the access, we can talk about regulatory, but as well cultural issues and maybe legal issues and so on. And then we might include such data as risk assessment from countries we are going to work with, and the distance, and so on. So there is no really right amount of data, okay? The right amount of data is going to be, and the quality of data is going to depending always on the company itself. What is important for this particular company and to its product and to its industry? Mm-hmm. So all this needs to be taken into consideration before we decide what kind of data we're going to use.
Now, Prime Target, your company, has developed a great market report tool where a small or medium enterprise can go in and get access to the kind of quality data that they would usually be paying tens or thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars for. How did you decide to go about, you know, the framework for that report? When you came up with the idea to create this tool for small and medium business, how did you decide which categories of data you were going to look at and which sources of data you were going to draw on?
Yes. So as we have started our discussion, we said that I have more than 15 years of experience in international trade and in consulting and helping companies going international. So all this experience coming from the banking sector, coming from the surveillance sector, I have understood and I have learned what kind of key data is important to decide on what markets to go and how to choose them. And I have applied these tools already with traditional tools in consulting. So one day I have understood that this is very time consuming, and current modern tools can help us achieve much more performance in transforming and reading and gather insights from this data. And that's how I come with the idea with this tool, which I created and we are using right now. So in this tool, we really have included all kind of data. And then for each and every client, we will decide which data is going to be taken in consideration. So it's really a consulting tool which is going to listen to the consultant and decide together with the client what kind of data is going to be taken into consideration in order to help in this decision-making process.
And for anybody who wants to see what this awesome report looks like, we're going to put a link into the show notes where you can go and find a copy of the report so you can understand what we are talking about here. But it is a really, really cool thing that is super helpful for anybody who is out there trying to make a decision about which market they should go to out of, you know, 5, 10, 15 markets. Now, I know in that report, Tatiana, there is data about social media analytics. And that might come as a bit of a surprise to people because a lot of people are not really used to including social media analytics when they are choosing a market. Why is that data in there? I mean, why is that useful data? And how can companies that are going global actually make sense out of it?
Well, this is so exciting with all the change that we can see right now with the big data and with the access which is opened to us to actually read live the markets, right? So why did I decide to include this in our, why did we decide to include this in our reports? First of all, it helps us to read the trends, okay? So how do we use it? We use keywords applicable for the company, for their products, for their industry, and for the competition. And then we can see, first of all, on the time, specific time period, the volume of searches with these keywords in each country we analyze. We can see the sentiment. So we analyze if it's a positive, negative, neutral sentiment of the people talking online about these subjects. And this really helps us enrich the market research that we are doing for the client with something which is unfeasible for traditional consulting, right? We really need tools for this kind of data. And I think it's going to be even, as we go forward, it's going to be even more relevant to use this kind of data. For the time being, we are learning because we don't know yet how can we really rely on this. So it's a supplement for all the data we use. But I think this might change with the future. It's the future of data.
That's really, really cool. I wanted, while I've got you here and while you are sitting in France, just to go back to France for a moment because you're obviously doing business there. France is part of Europe, but it's also a country with its own very specific culture and traditions. What are some of the key mistakes you see companies making when it comes to doing business in France?
Okay, yes. So I fell in love with France many years ago, okay? And people, when they come to France, they, you know, France is part of the G20, G7, the OECD. So we put people come from Australia or USA or from UK or from Netherlands, and they have the feeling that those differences don't matter anymore. You see what I mean? And actually it matters. First of all, of course, we talk about the language. We have a completely different language from the from other English, from English-speaking countries. English is still not that common in France, so we really need to speak French. And then there is such a thing like a network. You really need to have a network here. It takes times and years to build a network and build trust from this network. You really need time in order to develop in France and learn how to work here.
Fantastic. Before we finish up, have you got any other advice for companies that are listening to this show and thinking about doing business internationally? What would you say?
I would say that, first of all, taking your business internationally, you have to see it as an opportunity. And I would say that developing your business in few markets gives you so much learning regarding your product, regarding your competition, brings you innovation in terms of R&D, but as well in terms of skills. And the more countries you go to, the richer your company becomes in all those skills and the more potential for building a lasting business you will have. So, yes, my consulting and my advice is that, yes, you should strive to take the value that you create and bring it to more people, meaning in going international.
I love it. Tatiana, thanks so much for coming on Business Beyond Borders. I look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. This is Maher again. And just a few things before you head off. Firstly, if you feel you have gained valuable insights from the show, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. More importantly, don't forget to tell your fellow entrepreneur and business leader friends that this is the best podcast to tune into if they're looking to take on the world with their products and services. Also, if you are loving the podcast, please take the time to rate and review, as it's one of the best ways for us to get loads of free value into the hands of other entrepreneurs. And lastly, make sure to visit DearinAssociates.com. That's D-E-A-R-I-N, associates.com, where we have plenty of free resources and tools for you to get clarity and build momentum with your international venture. If you go there, you'll find the Blueprint to International Success, ebooks, our latest blog posts, and more. So be sure to check it out. And until next time, this is me encouraging you to expand your vision and wishing you all the best as you continue your global journey.